Good morning, honorable members. May I declare this meeting officially open? To be convening today to reflect with issues as contained in the report, in the agenda before you, I'm sorry. But with the main theme being to deal with the final mandates on the Division of Revenue Bill, as well as the consideration on the report thereof. Now, under item number 4, just a slight change there, we are not going to be dealing with the draft because we're still going to deal with that report under Section 6. But instead, we would receive a short presentation from Advocate Jenkins, which is actually a short legal opinion on the decision he took around the submission by National Treasury last week. So that will be item number 4. And then the rest will remain unchanged, more or less. Members have got any other item they want to include? Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. With regard to apologies, I have got an apology from Honorable Bloom, who is unable to join this meeting today due to him attending another meeting on the Select Committee on Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs. And Honorable Mazosiwe is attending a workshop on the JSC workshop outside of Parliament, but he did indicate that Honorable Boroto will stand in for him. I think so far those are the only apologies that I have received. Can I get your reflections on the matter? Apologies accepted. Honorable, thank you, Honorable DPR. And we will then quickly move to consideration of outstanding minutes. Sorry, it's only 4 sets of minutes that are outstanding. Thank you, Honorable Namela and Honorable Zulu. We have just started. At least we have not missed
a lot.
Thank you. The first set of minutes that we'll deal with is the minutes dated the 23rd of November 2011. A two-page you are welcome, Honorable Zulu. You may have a seat. Yeah, they are. That's why we need to sign off on them. Can somebody give Honorable Baker that copy of the minutes? Estelle? Page 1, Honorable Members, any issues there? Page 2, the minutes of the 23rd of November when we were dealing with the MTVPS and all other stuff. Page 2. Can you get the mover? Honorable DPR, any second there? Honorable Becker, thank you very much. Members, the second set will be the minutes of the 14th of February, 2012. Page 1. Honorable Makubela. Yes. Chairperson, I wonder, I'm seeing the name of MP Makubela on the absent instead of sick. I was not, I got my medical certificate there and posted that time. So that should actually reflect under apologies. Thank you, Honorable Makubela. Page 2. Page 3. May I have the mover? Honorable Becker moves. Second, Honorable Memela. Thank you very much. And the third set will be the minutes of the 9th of March. Page 1. Page 2. And page 3. In the absence of any comments, may I have a mover? Honorable De Beers, Honorable Memela, thank you. The last set is the meeting, the minutes of last week. Page 1. Page 1. Fine. Page 2. Page 3. You want the resolve part?
Just worried where we made note of the Mpumalanga negotiating mandate, and I think it was also is Northwest where we indicated that we knew that they were having meetings on that day. Nowhere captured. Unless if my eyes are not functioning well behind these glasses.
Okay. Can that be included? Mpumalanga and Oldonosworth arrived late in the same meeting. Yeah. Just the area relating to the Eastern Cape, I mean, Mpumalanga, that needs to be included here. On that particular day, yes. Page 5. May I get the mover then? Honorable Mashile moves and seconded by Honorable Baker. Thank you very much, honorable members. Yes, ma'am. Honorable member.
Honorable members, I was very perturbed with what happened to me when I'd already been deployed to come in and attend the meeting here. And I will actually put it down to poor communication, because Chane is a message I received that was Wednesday was supposed to be voting, isn't it? And I had to drive from Fryhead to Durban Airport, only to be told when I was already at the airport that I'm no more needed. And that was after 4. Already at the airport. And I want to actually say I don't condone that type of communication. It must never happen. Because what will happen if I then say, I bill you for my diesel traveling from Fryhead to Durban only to be told I'm no more needed and driving back, because I was coming out of a provincial week exercise and I'm the leader in that province. I hope we try and really avoid such things. I'm really upset. But I thought I'd rather say it here and not over the phone.
Thanks, Honorable Mamela. We really apologize for any miscommunication. But I must really indicate that immediately upon us agreeing to bring that meeting forward, that was on Tuesday in the morning, I requested the secretary to contact you and appraise you of the developments. I personally also called you, your phone was off, but I managed to speak to one of your VIP protection guys or a driver. What is his name? I forgot his name, but I spoke to him and he said to me, you are still in Fryhead in the meeting, and I pleaded with him to please explain to you not to drive because of this development. But I even committed that the mandate of the province will be tabled in your absence. And because he called me 3 times before I called him back. And then he promised me that he will convey the message, because I was avoiding exactly the same thing, that you will travel and be told And if he did not do that, I would still apologize, because perhaps I should have insisted in terms of talking to you directly. I even wanted to phone Honorable Gamede to say to him to convey that message, because I couldn't get hold of Uluwi, but we apologize.
May I say this? This is going to push me now, because what you're saying didn't happen. And I went through, because we share the phones, the messages with my protectors, both of them, Umbele and Uzondi. The other people were trying to contact, their phones were closed. Yours was also closed. And I'm saying this sincerely. May I then get the apology in black and white?
Okay, thanks, ma'am. Maybe let me not make it...
No, we can't have... We can't, and I won't allow a dialogue. That is the matter as it stands. And I haven't erased your SMS in my phone because that is proof. No. The time was late. The blunder was done, and it can't be erased. But all I say is, can I have it in black and white? Because I have to account for the diesel traveling and leaving a meeting in Fryhead. That's all I need. We're not going to be fighting over this. It's just to cover both of us. Thank you.
No, it's fine, Chair. I will definitely do that. But,
Thank you. No, there's no but.
Okay. No, I'm just saying, Chair, that the discussion with your protectors...
Chane, I'm pleading with you. Discussion closed.
Well, I will put that in the letter, Chair. It's fine. Let me formally write that to yourself. Honourable members, let's move to the next item, which is the presentation by Honourable Jenkins.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honourable members and colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity. I was asked last week just to comment on the submission from... National Treasury. There's three issues, and one has a sub-issue. And the first issue is that we see in the Division of Revenue Bill that the conditions attached to conditional grants to provinces, there's certain conditions that have to be fulfilled already. Certain dates that are set out in the schedules is going to lapse before the bill becomes an act and becomes operative. Now, I've looked at these, Honourable Chair, I've looked at these conditions. Some of them are peremptory. It says you must do this by a certain date. And others, one at least, speaks of it should be done by a certain date. But when I went through the Act, what I see is, one, that these are administrative issues. In other words, the DG of the Treasury can request that certain DGs or certain officers or officials within departments comply. Before this Act comes into operation. And I'm not sure what the example is on the ground, but for me it's an administrative issue purely. If it becomes a problem, I think it can be sorted out with the regulations that the Minister can make in terms of the Division of Revenue Bill when it becomes an Act. But I don't see that as a problem for delaying the passage of this bill that we have before us. The other issue concerns reconfigured grants. When we're looking specifically at Clause 27 that says that we can commit money for projects that were running from the previous financial year, and because this bill is not passed, we can fund those projects through direct transfers. Now, the question that arises is, what about a reconfigured grant? Can we do that? Is that the same as the services or the project that happened in the previous financial year? Now, I think, and I'm actually convinced, that the way to read the Clause 27 is to read it in conjunction with Section 29 of the Public Finance Management Act, which speaks of services. So Section 29 says we may use that 45% for the services of the state. Now, whether you reconfigure the grant and whether it's the same services and so on will only be really established in the concrete situation, in the context of that specific grant. So it's difficult to actually say from an abstract point of view, just looking at the words, whether you can or cannot do it. But I think what is important here is that we need to interpret all legislation, and including this new Division of Revenue Bill, in the context of the Constitution, which requires that government have a progressive realization of socioeconomic rights. So especially where those grants relate to socioeconomic delivery, one must look at it and say, we cannot interpret this, or we should be slow to interpret it, to say, let's stop the grant, it's a reconfigured thing, we're calling it something else, it's still a school that's being built or a hospital that's being built, but we, because of a change in government structures or reporting lines, it's a new label on it, and therefore we cannot proceed with it. I would argue rather, Constitution would require us to have a progressive realization, so never take a step backwards, always move forward with the delivery of socioeconomic rights. Read it with Section 29 of the Public Finance Management Act. So if the services are the same, spend the money for accounting purposes, and that would be the crux point here, is let's talk to the Auditor General, and the National Treasury has indicated that there is ongoing discussions between themselves and the Auditor General on the accounting aspect of these transactions. Because if one looks at the response one gets out there in the media and so on of irregular expenditure, which is expenditure done not in accordance with the law, the immediate reaction is a knee-jerk reaction to say there's a huge illegality, there's a fraud, there's corruption or something, and sometimes it's an accounting issue. But these things can be explained. Fundamentally also, if it becomes a problem, one can address it in the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill later, or in the new Division of Revenue Bill 2013. Together with the issue around reconfigured grants is the question of new grants. Now, the question of new grants is it's pretty simple. There I looked at it from Section 213 of the Constitution that requires that any expenditure or any appropriation must be supported by an Act of Parliament or the Constitution itself. So in terms of new grants, there's very little that is on the statute books to fund those new grants. We're speaking here specifically of the NHI, National Health Insurance. The only way out there I saw was to look at Section 25 or Section 16 at the national level and Section 25 at the provincial level of the Public Finance Management Act that allows emergency funding of certain projects. So if it can fall within that emergency funding, one can probably look at it. However, there's a condition it can only be 2% of the budget of that department. And secondly, it assumes that there is liquidity within the Provincial Revenue Fund to do that funding. So if there's no liquidity, if there's no cash in the national and the Provincial Revenue Fund, then we can't even use that provision to fund new projects. So one will just have to pass the Division of Revenue Bill to get there. There was a sub-issue, Honourable Chairperson, around whether it's reconfigured grants or closing the gap for the old grants with this Clause 27 or Section 27 of the previous Division of Revenue Act, and the conditions attached to those payments, these transitional payments. You're well aware that the Act says it's a direct charge. Now, the legal advisor of Treasury, and I agree with her, indicated that the conditions applicable to that grant within your financial year cannot be assumed to be applicable to this transitional funding. Now, I would agree with that. In other words, this transitional funding, this direct charge, is not subject to the same conditions that happened before 1st of April. The way to address that would be to allow the minister to make conditions for those Section 27 transitional transfers. One can even argue that the minister already has a certain authority to do it in terms of his regulatory powers. It would be clearer to spell out clearly in the new Division of Revenue Bill so that the minister can put certain conditions on there. But I think that point one can work on. Debate it a little bit with Treasury and so forth to get to the point where we say, if you do not have the power, let's put it there, Or alternatively, let's read it. I mean, the Division of Revenue Act of 2011, as well as the bill, sets out clearly the objectives of the act in terms of transparency, accountability, and so forth, proper spending, proper implementation of the act. So we have those, what we call those broad golden threads that run through the act. So if you want to continue with this funding, certainly those conditions must keep on applying. But the way it's written at the moment, in fact, the Act is quite clear that those conditions apply for the funding in the financial year and not outside that. So I would rather go with, let's look at how we can give the Minister that authority to put conditions on these transfers before the new Division of Revenue Bill becomes an Act. But as it stands at the moment, I also don't see that as a problem that prevents us from passing or reporting on this bill at this point in time. It's merely what I would call it, development. And that development comes from the fact that we are now looking at the Division of Revenue Bill through the eyes of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure. It takes a little bit longer. I can see in the future we're going to have more public participation and provincial participation around the Division of Revenue Bill, so it might even take longer. So this, suddenly in the last 2 years we've seen this transitional period enlarge a little bit, which is now showing certain issues that we need to work on, and this has come out with our consultation with the National Treasury this morning, so I thank them for that, and leave it at that. If the committee wants me to prepare a memorandum around these issues, I would be glad to do so. But as I say, it needs to hold up the agenda of the committee in terms of this bill. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Advocate Jenkins. Honourable members, that is the brief with regard to... You will realize that more or less it's still within the context of our discussion last week. But you have yet advocated and you can reflect. Honourable Mashila?
Yeah, Chair, I think it's really our understanding that, we were really attending to administrative issues which can be handled with specific delegations of certain individuals in the department and the relevant legal officers. They should be able to deal with that administrative end. But Chair, I think what one just needs to indicate is that a reconfigured conditional grant, it can't be taken as a new grant. Because on the ground, there is a service that is rendered that it must take over and continue with the payment. Any stoppage or any consideration to be a new grant may lead to a stoppage of delivering that specific service. You know, this thing so-called legal success or the whatever they call it, when you are getting into the boots of something that is going, then you must go in that direction. And then you can't get in and go back. And so that is my understanding. And in case of the new grant, we're not supposed to be having a crisis because they've not even been started to be implemented. They've not been. And those grants, actually, everybody knows that they will only start when the monies are made available. So we're not stopping anything. We may be delaying the start date by those few weeks or months for these to be implemented, to be adopted. But I don't think we've got a crisis with any new grant that is going to be approved by this current Division of Revenue. I don't think we've got a crisis with those ones. And therefore, we don't need to crack our heads. But if we happened to, because of the NHI, that it has been announced, but doesn't mean that when Aaron Khaled is announced, they start the last week or so, it means that the program is rolling and then costs are being incurred. All that means is that people are actually getting plans to sort it out for rolling it out, and it may not be a crisis, really. But those that are ongoing reconfigured grants, I would really take them to be it's just a continuation. It's just like shifting one specific service from one department to the other, and then it continues with the service, and then it cannot be really regarded as a new one. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mashile. Any other comment, members? Treasury, do you want to say something?
No, thank you very much. As indicated by Advocate Frank, what we will be doing is, if there's any changes necessary to smoothen this transitional period, we'll consider it for the 2013 bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Advocate Jenkins. We will now move to the next item, being the consideration of the mandates. We will do them in alphabetical order. The Eastern Cape one, I'll read that because there's no rep here. The legislature supports the bill and mandates the Eastern Cape delegate to vote in favor of the adoption of the bill. Honorable F.D. Kassa, the Speaker of the Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature. Free State. With regard to Free State, honorable members, yes, sir.
Chair, the Eastern Cape one. Because I'm looking at the signature, is a PP. Is it really acceptable when the act actually calls for the speaker to do so? Can we just simply be educated on the specific matter? Thanks.
Well, taking the advantage of the presence of Honorable Advocate Jenkins, can you assist us on that? I know that the speakers should be the ones confirming the acceptance or rejection of the mandates in terms of the Mandates Act. But I'm not sure if the signature thereof can be delegated. Honorable Jenkins?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The PP stands for per procuratorum, which means on authority. So you're not signing as acting speaker, you're signing after the speaker has said, perhaps I'm not there, my arm is not long enough to reach, maybe I'm in China or somewhere, please sign on my behalf, I've looked at everything. So I would argue that it carries legal weight, that it goes through as a signature of the speaker.
Okay.
Unless that speaker would want to refute that. But if it stands, it stands. So I would, the concern I think is legitimate, but I would argue that it has legal authority and it complies.
Oh. Okay, Honourable Member.
May I explain that all the speakers were in the speakers' forum on that particular day? And if you can notice, you'll find that in most of these PPs, it's the deputy speaker. And it's correct.
Okay. There is the legal advice, Honourable Members, Honourable Mashile.
Yeah, Chair. You see, why I'm bringing this is it's because for this specific mandate, there is a specific act that has actually been promulgated that talks to this specific matter. And then it is not just ordinary common senses and whatever, under normal circumstances where somebody just signs on somebody else's behalf. This one, there is a specific act that actually directs us how this mandate should be exercised. You'll remember when we were speaking about the negotiating mandate, Then the Act actually even said that the chairperson of the Finance Committee or whatever then can sign the negotiating mandate. And also our argument when we reached a consensus was that the chair has got the delegated powers of the speaker to do so. That's the, our interpretation that we interpreted that. But now with the final mandate, it was reserved for the speaker. Now, all what I'm saying, Chair, is that simply for us to really convince ourselves that it is right, what we are seeing now, here. And because definitely I respect the comment of the Deputy Chair, but the signatures that we are seeing, it's not easy to say it is a Deputy Speaker or not. Just a signature, but the name underneath is the speaker's name or the initials. And all that I'm just simply saying is for us just simply to really satisfy ourselves and verify and that we are correct and we cannot be contradicted as we move forward. Because you see, this democracy of ours has actually even awoken some other tigers. You know, and so we shouldn't really be open for unnecessary attempts.
Okay, no, thanks, Honourable Member. Let me
note
that, ma'am. Can
I? Maybe I can then say I stand by what KZN has done. The others can then start swimming out of the deep end of the deep. Because KZN is in order.
Can I read, just to satisfy everybody, honourable members, in terms of the mandate procedure of Provinces Act 2000, Act Number 52 of 2008, section or clause 6 says, a provincial legislature must confer authority on its provincial delegation to the NCOP to cast a vote when there's a vote. In terms, that is final mandate.
Well, that is the vote.
Can I be allowed to finish my talk?
Final mandate. It says under final mandate, a provincial legislature must confer authority on its provincial delegation to the NCOP to cast a vote when the relevant NCOP Select Committee considers a bill prior to voting thereon in the NCOP plenary. Now, you go to Schedule 2 of the same act, which outlined the format for final mandate, governed by Section 3, which Section 3 says that every final mandate required in terms of this act must be on the letterhead of the provincial legislature, as must include the bill's number, indicate to where the provincial legislature votes in favor, against, abstain, or for voting from the bill, contain the signature of the speaker or of a person designated by the speaker to preside over that specific bill. So if a person is designated by the speaker, then the act allows that. So that is the situation in terms of the act, honourable members. Can we then take the mandate? Free State has indicated that they would not be in the position to give us the mandate today because the meeting that will decide on their final mandate is tomorrow. So unfortunately, we could not shift our meeting to wait for them. Now I will take out them.
Hey, Chairperson, thank you. The legislature has delayed, but from what I heard is that it has been signed already and it will be transferred electronically. But we currently don't have it. I don't have it in my presence now.
Can we note that development, honourable members? KwaZulu-Natal? Can you, for the record, table it?
Atherton legislature met and they agreed to the mandate to support the division of revenue bill.
Thank you, KZN. Limpopo? Oh yeah, now it's okay. I've just received a fax message that the mandate has been sent to Estelle now. I don't know the content. I'm sure she went out. They first indicated that no, it will arrive late, but still on the table of the speaker, and then now they have sent an SMS that no, it has been faxed to Estelle office.
That will be noted for now. Can we then take Mpumalanga? Mpumalanga?
Yeah, Chair, the final mandate for Mpumalanga is that the delegation of Mpumalanga then should vote in favor of the bill. Thanks.
Mpumalanga vote in favor. So Northern Cape.
Chairperson, the Northern Cape votes in favor of the bill and supports the Division of Revenue Bill 2012. And I also received the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 18th of April, confirming that as well as the whole process that was followed. Thank you.
Northern Cape votes in favor. Northwest. In terms of Northwest, the Northwest Provincial Legislature votes in favor of the bill. So Northwest votes in favor. Western Cape.
Chairman, Western Cape vote in favor and they sent their mandate to me on the letterhead of the Western Province Legislature. I think there was trouble the other day about that.
Cape also votes in favor. Members, at this stage we've got six provinces that voted in favor and two we noted that they are still on the way and one there's an apology for late submission. So the majority of provinces do vote in favor of the bill, and the bill will be tabled as such. Is there any extra? Okay, it's only Limpopo, and Limpopo votes in favor. So we've got seven provinces actually voting in favor.
Very valuable.
Thank you, Honourable Makubela. So that is, the bill has been adopted. And now we'll go to the last item on members, which is the, not the last item, consideration of the report. The report was circulated and members were invited to make comments. It was only circulated to myself, and then upon going through it, I sent it back for further corrections and all those things. So I'm sure it's been circulated only in this meeting. And I would allow members some time by your direction to, I don't know if you had chance to go through it, or should we allow you 10 minutes to go through it and we can then discuss it after. It's 10 to 11 now, honorable members. I think at 11 o'clock we'll reflect. Is every member having the report?
Are we all having a report? I guess we all have. Thank you. 10 minutes it is. Okay, thank you. Honourable members, we are back in session. Just before we deal with this, earlier on we noted the developments regarding Gauteng, and that the mandate has just arrived. I'll just request Honourable Mondisi to table it just for record purposes. Honourable Mondisi.
Yes, Chairperson, as I indicated, it is being printed right now. The copy will be brought into the House.
But the mandate is in support of the...
Yeah, it's in support.
That's what I want you to confirm. I've seen the mandate, yes. Thank you very much. Members, let's go. I'll go page by page, very slowly, on the report. Page one. Page two.
Second paragraph. I think it's just the choice of words. Second paragraph, fourth line. Nationally raised revenue between. I think the word between should be replaced by amount, because we're mentioning three spheres of government there. I think that's the only one. The only clean thing that needs to go.
Okay. Page 3.
Well, page 3, Chair, I think it's just a table, just simply to insert the units on top of the table on the columns. We have just missed the units.
Okay.
That's all.
Great. Page 4. Wendy?
Yes. Can I just make a proposal that after 2.4, the first paragraph, we just add a new heading 2.5 and refer to it as amendments introduced as part of the 2012 Division of Revenue. Otherwise, it creates the impression that, that the things that's discussed is part of the local government's share, which it's not.
Can you repeat that proposal again? 2.5?
Amendments introduced as part of the 2012 Division of Revenue.
That 2.5 should be immediately after the first paragraph, as a heading. And it covers all those things going down. Okay. Agreed? Thank you. Page 4. Page 4. I think I'm still slow. 5. Deleted as is 2, and that is 2 seems to be okay. So there's nothing to delete there.
No, it was sorry, it was that day, it stays. So when we put a place, it's then deleted automatically. So that's the one example stays.
remain as is too. Okay. As long as that confusion is addressed. Six. Honorable Makubela.
Paragraph number 1, 2, 3. I'm seeing there it is written, the point was made by Selga that the integration of this ground into the MIG needed to be done sooner than 2014-10. How soon? I don't follow the logic.
Soon. That is before that time.
But we're having 2012 and 2013 here.
Between 2012 and 2013 and 2013 and 14, that should have happened in terms of what Saga was submitted. Satisfied? Thank you, Honourable Member. Six? Honourable Mashiri?
Yeah, I'm not sure about 4.3, Department of Water Affairs, I think also it was a sister, the Environmental Affairs, to a EU partner, which is not very
sensitive. Yes, it's Dwa.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you. Seven.
Yeah, on 7, Chair, I think it's the first on the Eastern Cape, 511. The content that has been covered on the Eastern Cape and the ones that have been covered on KZN. What I was saying is that some consistency on the fact that we extract from this mandate so that we don't leave others out. And then I'm not sure now that, because I don't have the negotiating mandate, whether on KZN there was nothing else other than just simply supporting the bill on the negotiation, because on Gauteng much has been covered on some of the arguments or recommendations. All what I was just saying, the consistency of extracting that information on all the negotiating mandates. If this is the case, it's fine. But just simply to ensure that if we capture the in favor or not in favor, but together with some other proposals, then we should do all consistent things.
Okay, point taken. I'm trying to quickly check that. But that point is valid, remember. We are still on page 7. Any other addition? In terms of the KZN, let's go to page 7. KZN, if I may just read for you, in terms of the negotiating mandates, it was just that the Portfolio Committee of Finance met today, Tuesday, 13th, and agreed on the mandate. There was no issues to move it. But that principle is accepted for purpose of consistency. Page 8. Page 8, yeah. Honorable Dupier.
Page 8, Chairperson, 5.1.6, Bulletin 2, 3, 4, 5. Although the conditions, something the municipal infrastructure grant, I would say of the municipal infrastructure grant, if you look at the block on the right-hand side, it appears there as well. The INTHE. I don't know what abbreviation that is, but it's just a correction there. It's a small correction.
I think under 5.2, the reason for Free State not voting should be properly captured.
Mm.
Otherwise, it will give the impression that they chose not to vote, they abstained. The real reason, I think, secretaries must. It is captured here that the following provinces except Free State. I'm saying the reasons for their non-voting should be properly expressed in that report. It shouldn't give the impression that they did not vote, they abstained. Is that the matter that their meeting is tomorrow? So the mandate might still come before the sitting on Thursday. We've got the written submission from them to that regard. In that regard. No, Mashiach.
Chair, are we saying that we are redrafting that sentence?
Yes.
Because we have not yet voted. We have not yet voted. We're going to vote in the House.
Yes.
So I think this sentence then must be properly crafted, Chair. It's not as it stands now. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, Chairperson, on the very same last page. Is it the last page? No, page 9. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's page 9. On your final mandates from provinces, I see here Gauteng is deleting Mpumalanga, and the Mpopo is deleting what? The Northern Cape.
No, it was just to sequence them, to put them in alphabetical order, otherwise they would have been thank you, Arnold. Sharp eye. 10? Ma'am?
Thank you. Just under 7.1, it stated that SAGA should assist all municipalities in utilizing a part of the existing infrastructure grants to address the challenge of maintaining infrastructure. The issue is that maintaining has got a very specific meaning and it's got an operational terminology. So we should rather use a word such as extending infrastructure or rolling out infrastructure, because the point that was made in the meeting that they requested for additional money, and the point was made that existing money in of MIG is not appropriately used or sufficiently used. So we just need to reword that one slightly. Thanks.
Just to delete the word maintaining and replace it with the rolling out of infrastructure or something like that. That's the amendment to that. We are still on 10. Shouldn't we be having a sentence that actually would direct either SALGA or either national or provincial treasuries in a situation where they have to take cognizance of those issues highlighted by provinces. Because to me, it's more of clarity than any other thing. Those committees there, as they engage in the public, they lack clarity on those things. And it's my view that they can then be clarified by their provincial treasurer. So there should be a sentence that points into that direction, in fact, instructing those provincial treasurers, so that those are not just tabled or appear in the report, but actually somebody has to attend to those. We're still on 10, Honourable Mashile.
Chairperson, 7.2. 7.2 seeks to be directing SALGA and Treasury to have a meeting. Okay. And now, but I would have loved a situation where a SALGA maintains this interaction on any matter at any time of any confusion that they may find themselves in the municipality, really to actually get it clarified and communicate to municipalities. They should not have this meeting here and then that's the end of it, and then they remain in the bushes and get confused, and then they come and make noise to us. Is it to maintain that working relationship where, wherever any problem arises, then they should proactively engage, whether it's FFC or it's whatever, at any time, even ourselves, if they need anything, they can come and get it. They must not wait for these other processes of the division of revenue or something like that. If they can just, if you can just get a sentence that makes them to wake up.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Page 10, and our list is here. I needed to hear your voice. I'm not used to you being so quiet in a meeting.
Mr. Chairman, it's very difficult to comment on things when I wasn't absent, but I wasn't also present.